it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hail Cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Doing all right, Josh. Game week six in the books. I think it was kind of up and down for different managers. And here we are, Josh. I had a good game week and yours not so much. So I think that's always a good situation for the pod to be in where
we get
both perspectives on the game week, which will then result probably in different perspectives looking ahead to game week seven,
yep.
Which, as we know, is the first double game week of the season. Does this double have you super excited?
I would say no, but I think there's certainly something to talk about, and I think we can get into that a little bit. And it's interesting to decide, you know, make fantasy fun again as a major theme of this podcast. And so what is the fun way to approach the double game week, I think, is a good question. Is it MFFA to completely skip out on a double? Should you always play it? Is it MFFA to captain Carlton Morris, or do you need him at all? So I think we can talk about that.
Yeah.
We can talk about game week six. Yeah. Game week six was about as bad as it gets for me. Now I've had six consecutive really bad game weeks, and I've never started a season like this before, ever. And so it's a little unfortunate, especially with coming right at the start of the season. It's hard not to feel like I don't know, like it's just, you know, it's a hard one to shake off for sure. And I have five top 10K finishes. I have three top 10K finishes in the last 5 years. So, you know, I wouldn't say my confidence is shaken, and I enjoy poker. I enjoy gambling. I've done a lot of both, and I know what it's like to go on an extended losing streak. And that's what I'm going through right now. It's just an extended losing streak. Everything is going wrong, and it won't last. Based on whatever kind of empirical evidence I've gathered together the last 10 years of doing fantasy, it'll pass. So, but I feel like I've talked about it enough on this pod, honestly. It's just speaking of MFFA, you know, me coming on here and complaining again about another bad game week is just not a, there's a certain segment of this audience that really enjoys it. But for me, it's like, I just don't want to. I just want to have one single good game week this season. I have not had one yet. Every single one of them has been bad.
Yeah.
So that is the thing that's a little bit of a bummer, is nothing has gone well. Not once. And so that, you know, so, but again, we're 6/38 of the way through the season. So it's a very, very long season. And I am not even that down. I mean, it's sort of when Sven Botman scored on a Trippier assist, and I had brought in Schär because I liked, I thought he had the most kind of goal threat of anybody on the, Newcastle team. I actually laughed because at some point it gets funny. Like when things go so catastrophically wrong. Like, I mean, either you can like get mad at the gods or whatever. I mean, I can't like rewind the clock and pick different players. And so at some point it just doesn't make sense to get overly annoyed about it. It's just sort of something that I hope ends sometime soon. That's where we are. But let's talk about your game week, because you had a good game week, and I don't want to go on about mine. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just going to try to move forward.
Yeah, we got an email from Thomas Peace, listener out there, who said, I have had a disaster of a wild card in the process. Sold Matoma, sold Madison, sold Saka. How do I recover from this? And I think that's right. You've got to just, frankly, you've just got to move on. And yeah. I think you struck upon something there that I always think about, is all you need to wipe away bad vibes is one game week, and one good game week, and your weight now goes on for another good game week.
Yeah, exactly.
have not had to wait. I scored 82 points this week. I kept triple United, which miracle upon miracle paid off when I saw Johnny Evans was starting at center back. I just assumed that clean sheet was going to get wiped out. And Onana didn't even get a yellow card. That's how much good fortune smiled upon my game week. Bruno came through with his goal. The only blanks I see are Rashford, Chilwell, and Julian Alvarez, which was my transfer. I brought in Julian Alvarez and Botman. So all told, that was a really good upside for my two free transfers. And sure, I move up 700,000 spots to 1.2 million, still nice, outside of the top million.
Knocking on the door.
We are knocking on the door. It's still like the cliche rings true that it's early enough to where being just outside the top million is, it doesn't mean you're that far away from your colleagues in the top 100K.
Yeah, exactly. It was somebody I saw, it might have been Gianni. It was one of our friends, started Saturday morning at like 1.9 million, had 100 plus points this game week and cracked the top 200K, right? So it's, you can still do that this early on in the season. It's really early enough that one strong game week is enough for you to jump almost 2 million spots. And that's still true going to game week 7. So, you know, there's no reason to, if you're down, there's no reason to stay down. There's a long way to go. And if it still doesn't go well, then you got an international break coming up in 2 weeks. So you can reset there, or wild card if you haven't done that yet. And just reset things a little bit.
Yeah. It feels like a game week too, this one, that of some narratives are finally starting to settle. Chelsea, we understand, and I think we're going to talk a bit more about that in a second. Newcastle, it's really all about the defense. Man City, we have understood. Arsenal coming through with attacking returns, as our Spurs. This is all clear cut now. So I think the path forward is starting to feel a lot clearer for managers. Manchester United might still be the only one where nobody really knows what to do with this team at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other story is just how, I guess it's relevant for game week 7 is this has to be the worst pool of promoted teams since you and I have been doing this pod, at least, if not longer. I mean, it's fantasy and in real life, right? I mean, there's really no one you want in fantasy from these clubs outside of maybe Carlton Morris, and they're getting, I mean, I don't know. It's obviously Sheffield United lost 8-0 today, which is pretty extreme. But I think even, Burnley at home to a reeling Man United coming off 3 days rest and just a toothless performance. Luton Town has, it's 11 versus 10 for 60 minutes against another, honestly, pretty bad Wolves side as well. And they can muster one pen. And it's just, so I think that, I guess, and again, there's no disrespect to the teams that got promoted. They earned it and they're here. And I don't have any invective that I want to direct towards them other than not wanting to watch them play, really, right? I mean, I don't really want to watch any of the matches when they're on because they're not very exciting teams and there's really no one to own in fantasy. But I think, the other side of it though is that you really can start looking at their fixtures as fixtures where you might want to look to captain a player. I mean, honestly, I guess that would be an argument for Carlton Morris, just that he plays a promoted team in game week 7.
It's a snake eating its own tail here.
Yeah, exactly. So game week 7 is maybe actually sort of a bad example of this, although I guess if there was a third theme, it would be that the Haaland alternatives are, it's starting to make a little more sense that you could consider some Haaland alternatives. And again, in most cases, I'm still going to captain Haaland. I mean, he's the leading goal scorer he will be at the end of the season. I'm almost certain the leading goal scorer for the Premier League's best side. The squad is built around him. He like basically never gets a rest. So there's all these arguments for him, but he does seem a little off this year. It feels like he's not quite, maybe everyone's a little more used to him. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't feel like, also just feels like, I mean, honestly, it feels like maybe he's just, his luck is catching up with him a little bit, right? It felt like last season, if he had a glimmer of a chance, he was scoring every single time. And this year, it's not quite happening.
Yeah, he'd go through a half and have one touch on the ball, and that touch would be for a goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, I mean, yeah, what's his, like, yeah, I mean, on the season, he's got an 8 XG, so still fine. Still has 6 goals in the season. I mean, even in his bad matches, he's scoring points. And he had 20 points in game week 4, just 3 weeks ago. And he scored in the subsequent 2 matches. So I'm not exactly ripping the captain's armband off of him, but I think it is kind of interesting. I think the other one that I'm sort of I have to say the Sun thing is interesting too. Like what to do with Sun, I think is an interesting question. Just again, if we're talking about like stories of the season so far. Yeah. I mean, the thing about the 2 goals they conceded today, it's like there's something to be said for just a team that takes their chances and scores in those moments. And I think Madison does make Sun better for sure. But it was kind of weird. I mean, they basically scored 2 goals and 2 Arsenal defensive errors, right? The first Sun goal was Rea. I don't really know what he was doing. It was like amateur level keeping, right? He just sort of throws the ball back into play. And then they scored like 10 seconds later. And
yeah, well, you do want to put Saka into that conversation because Madison did skin Saka alive to get into the position to play.
Yeah, but
that,
it never should have even been. And if it weren't for Rea, that ball is not even in play, right?
Okay, I mean, all right. We're not letting Ray off the hook here. All right.
No, exactly. It's a fault. And then the second goal was a giveaway. Where just a slip of concentration, right? And
Jorginho,
yeah, exactly. Who came on for Declan Rice, so that was kind of fluky as well, right? Like he wouldn't even be on the pitch if Rice hadn't had the back issue and Son. So it's like I wasn't like I watched that match thinking, oh yeah, like Spurs are just like trading punch for punch here. It kind of felt like Arsenal should have won that match and Spurs got super lucky. And again, you take your chances. And so it feels like I'm coming in on all these clubs. I'm really not, but other than maybe being generally a little salty right now, but I feel like,
lean into it.
Yeah. But I feel like, and no credit to them for scoring 2 goals. And I mean, you know, a lot of teams aren't that lethal. They won't take advantage of those moments and get a 2 draw. But if I'm Arsenal, I'm hugely disappointed by that draw.
Definitely. To be fair to Spurs, this is the tactic that you would take away from home in a tough derby match. But at the same token, Arsenal are playing home and they had the better of the attacking chances. They had the better of the possession. So they will feel they should have won on the whole. I don't think there's any way to argue that it wasn't a fair result. But I like a fantasy. Yes. The purpose of this episode or this podcast is to put our fantasy hats on. And what did we learn from the North London Derby in terms of what to do with these guys' fantasy assets? Saka taking the pen with Jorginho on the pitch. Just he becomes more and more the talisman of that club, which you love to see. Incredibly taking pen, Salah-esque. And assuming Rice is healthy and this back issue isn't, maybe it was precautionary. Arsenal, I think, are just going to get better and better. So, something along the lines of what we're seeing with Liverpool this season, like slowly sort of clicking into gear. And I think that makes me feel really good as a Saka owner.
Yeah, I think Saka looked fantastic. Might be like a season-long own in fantasy. Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's the same old story. Jesus missed some chances, as he always does. And and that's just how it's always going to be with him, I guess.
Yeah. And Havertz coming in at the half after halftime, he was bad again, added nothing to the team.
It's just that transfer was puzzling and people kept explaining, oh, he's going to be doing things that you can't see with the human eye. It's that sort of, it's always the thing. It's like the things that Havertz are good at, the human brain can't process or what. It's always this like nonsense, right? But then you just see him out there and it's just like, okay, like great. He did, he got a takeaway in the pitch and then he blew it 3 seconds later. So I'm not really sure what good it is to do the good things if you can't kind of keep doing them throughout. Sure. And so, yeah. So I think it was an interesting weekend. I mean, I think the matches were, I mean, obviously the other huge match was the Newcastle match. I mean, going on the road, scoring 8 goals. Botman, who has never shown any attacking threat, suddenly has a goal and assist on the season. That's after missing a couple of matches as well. So, I mean, maybe it's just a fluke. I don't really know, but You know, Karen Trippier, who you and I had basically been time and time again saying was not worth owning in fantasy and isn't worth this price, gets three assists and finishes on 18 points, an absolutely incredible return. And there's no there's no point in pretending we weren't arguing because we were. And that's I thought we were going to
get away with it there for a while when Botman scored his goal. I was like, well, that's two assists. That's two Trippier assists. So we're still right. I think with the third assist, and now Trippier has one more point and Botman on the season. To what degree does Sheffield United being an invisible team for 90 minutes play into how we digest what happened in that match? Because it was unreal how horrible they were.
I don't know. I mean, it helps that they kept a clean sheet at home to Brentford the week before, and Brentford is a better team, although now I don't even know, right after the that match that Everton played with, the match where Brentford hosted Everton, and Brentford are usually incredible at home. That was probably the worst match they've played in the Premier League. They were never good in that match. It was incredible. I've never seen a match where Brentford almost always have a little fire or something. That they just looked exhausted. I don't really know. And they didn't have Ben Mee still. The Rico Henry probably out for the season now. And obviously they have Raya Flecken. Flecken is apparently Flecken means the stain in Dutch, which I like. So now we know we can call Flecken the stain,
and the human stain.
He does nothing. Like he is, just to be positive about somebody here. And this is to go back to the Arsenal match. I think Vicario is incredible. I am so impressed with him. What an incredible signing that has been for Spurs. I mean, I realized that he conceded. I mean, honestly, there's nothing. No fault in either goal, really. I mean, right? One is an own goal, and one was a pen. And I don't think you can ever blame a keeper for not saving a pen. Mm. But I just think every time I watch him play, I'm just so impressed with him. And what a great signing he is.
Yeah, I think that Spurs defense is going to come together. I thought Udogi was a little hamstrung by the early yellow card, but still looked incredible. And
could have had a red, though. That was scary. That was,
I didn't really understand how he never got that second yellow, but I think the ref appreciated that. Hey, this is a derby. Let the boys play a little bit.
Sure.
What do you think about Porro, though? So he's getting a little more shine, I think, from fantasy managers who want to be different and not get you doggy because he's kind of getting to that universally owned point. But Porro, I think it was our friend Francis on the Discord suggested Porro, and I held my nose and I was like, you stinky no. But I thought he played decently and is getting forward as well.
I think or maybe I guess it was 2 weeks ago. I feel like he had a good match. Whatever. It all starts to run together. I feel like he, within the last couple of matches, I thought Porro, I saw him play well. And I think he's fine. He's a little more expensive than Udogi. I don't like him as much. And Udogi's still only 17% owned overall. You know, pretty low, really. So I think, I don't know, maybe you want both. I don't know. It feels like a little too much, especially when you can still get Newcastle defenders for cheap. I mean, the question I have to think about now is whether I have to get Trippier in, which I really didn't want to have to do. And we all have this Ben Chilwell problem now. So maybe it's him. I guess maybe I'll just pick up one of the goal scoring defenders that Newcastle are suddenly flipped with. So, to go back to your original question, how much do I blame Sheffield? I don't know. I mean, it's still an away match. I think it's impressive to score 8 goals in an away match, no matter who you're playing, right? I don't understand what happened in the championship last year. That's what I'm curious about. Like how did we get these three teams up? Like it's just, and it just feels, maybe we just got like, we just got kind of lucky the last few years. It feels like the last few years we've had one good team after another, even Forest, who were kind of a funky team, but they bought 37 new players and they've kind of made it work. Yeah. And Bournemouth played, quite well last season, especially in the second half of the season. Obviously Brentford a couple years before that, Wolves before that.
Don't forget about Fulham. And I think like if you look at Bournemouth and Fulham from last year coming up with squads intact, what you see often with championship sides is they get promoted through just a huge loanee system. and they lose all these lone players over the summer and come up with a skeleton crew, and they either buy, or in Luton's case, you don't buy, and see what happens. You kind of just like take the broadcast money and take it as a win for the organization.
Yeah.
So I wasn't following the championship last year closely at all to know, but I suspect that's probably what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that surely is. It's just interesting that we didn't have like even kind of one. Listen, we don't need to bang on about the quality of these championship clubs any longer, but that's not
what they're better than we are.
They're better than, yeah, exactly. Each one of them, even the keepers, even Flecken, who's not even on a promoted team, but feels like a second, he feels like a fourth division keeper, is probably better than me at some things. I think I'm a better keeper, but he might be better at me than other stuff. All right. Driver. Well, maybe he's a better driver than I am. That's very possible. All right. Well, I want to get into the double game week stuff, but first, just a quick shout out to join the Patreon, support the pod, especially now, Brandon. I need the support because as we talked about, my confidence, while not quite shaken yet, is on the verge of being shaken. So, but each new Patreon supporter that we get buoys my confidence, at least to do this podcast, if not to make my transfers.
Is it that point in Peter Pan where the Patreon membership has to clap their hands to bring you back to life like Tinkerbell?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I need to be Tinkerbelled back into my own good graces. I don't know. So if you get an extra podcast each week, you can come and chat with us on the Discord. I was trying to get bucked up by some of our Patreon supporters today. Thank you to Francis and Sam and others. And thank you to our newest patrons, Tom King, Mikey Gray, Ben Coombs. Ben, you're going to have to make sure Ben is a new producer patron. Thank you to Ben. Yeah. But you're going to have to tell us how to pronounce your last name. C-O-U-M-E. Would you call that Combs? Coombs? I think there's a couple different ways you could go there.
Kume?
Kume, oh, you think he's French? Maybe he's Ben. Yeah, until we hear
Creole,
otherwise,
perhaps.
Until we hear otherwise, Ben, you're going to be Ben Kume on the pod. And Joseph Austin as well. So thank you to Tom, Mikey, Ben, and Joseph, our newest Patreon supporters this week. Get in there, and we'll do another podcast before Game Week 7 kicks off. Brandon, let's take a quick break. We'll get back and talk about Game Week 7.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals.
Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Ben, we're back. Game week 7 kicks off on Saturday. We got another weird one scheduling wise. They will never do a normal schedule anymore. We have eight teams that play on Saturday, and then one single match on Sunday. I don't know why, just one single match on Sunday, and then we've got a Monday match and then a Tuesday match. So it's Saturday through Tuesday this week. The reason we have a Tuesday match is because of the Luton Burnley double game week. So I know everyone's planning to take some time off from work in order to watch that. So make sure you get that in with your manager on Monday. Don't wait till Tuesday morning. You know, sometimes you get those meetings. Yeah, put on your calendar. So a really meaty Saturday fixture, and I know that'd be a fun one to go watch in person. I don't know, I have to think about that a little bit.
I'm open to it. I will say the people producing the NBC Gold Rush product, they had a stinker on Saturday where the sound wasn't synced up.
I noticed that. Yeah, that is, I don't think NBC even wants their name on that, because that is
it's like a Premier League product that they just pipe in through their.
I think so. I don't want to, you know, that's a. Listen, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of hands making that thing, but who knows? What do I know, right? We're not in broadcast production. It would be great. You're right. It seems like it is not overly critical to ask the sound to be synced up with the product.
I'm just flagging it.
That you're promoting.
I'm just flagging it. Yeah, it's exactly. room for improvement. Yeah. I'm going to go 4 stars instead of 5 stars, and that's still of a vote of confidence. But I'm already missing our Friday deadlines, because there's something about, it's less I need to watch a match on Friday. I kind of just want to lock in my fantasy team by Friday. There's something about that early lock in, and like the sooner we can jump into the next game week, the better.
It is kind of nice. That is true. I was up until super late before the game week 5, because I played my wild card, and it was like 1 a.m. and I was still stressing out, because I was like, I just wanted to get it locked in, and but there was no reason, there was no actual time limit, right? It was like, in theory, I could just stay up all night working on it. And so it is kind of nice to have that Friday deadline just forcing
there is basically Saturday is the game week. This is like Boxing Day or something like this. The only relevant fantasy teams play on Saturday.
Yep.
Some people have Brentford for sure. But yeah, obviously we're going to jump into the double game week stuff and how that does extend our interest from Saturday all the way to Tuesday. So should we start with Luton Town and Burnley, or do you have something else cooking?
No, I think that sounds good. So, I think the first question here is there a MFFA Make Fantasy Fun Again case for simply sitting this double game week out, Brandon? Is that anti-MFFA to you, to just sit out this double game week?
Well, I've already made a transfer to participate in the double game week, and I'll be honest, I could see it. I got rid of Ollie Watkins.
Okay.
And
after a goal and 3 bonus.
Well, you know, I don't want to get caught in recency bias. Ollie Watkins was always on his way out the door. He's not really had the best start to the season. There have been some drips of fantasy points, but I think I'm not keen to keep Ollie Watkins. Mm-hmm. That said, the point is, keeping a player like Ollie Watkins, yes, he's just coming off of a goal and 3 bonus. It would be fun to keep him. So what I'm saying is, any player you drop to bring in a Burnley or Luton player is probably equally as fun to have. So I think who you have and how you play this double game week is a bit of a wash. It's just going to separate the people who like gambling from the people who just like playing playing by the letter of the law sort of thing.
So I feel like you like gambling then. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Because you brought in. Okay. Cause I wouldn't say I normally would profile you as a gambling enjoying fantasy manager. Right?
Well, I think that there's an interesting way in, or I don't know, it's not really a hedge, but with Burnley and Luton players being so cheap, it's kind of like a way to postpone. I need to solve my third striker problem, if it is a problem. But let's say, like, for the sake of argument, I need to solve a third striker problem. I need to solve a defender problem. Mm-hmm. Bring in one of these double game week players and then figure out how you actually long term want to solve that problem after game week 7. So that's like a little bit of a gamble, though. You're taking this perfect little bite-sized window to jump in there and try to maximize.
Yeah, I think it's I think it feels worthwhile. I think if you have Dinkles, I mean, Watkins, I think you could make a case for not making a transfer just because he has a home match in game week 7, has a nice run of fixtures after that. But I think if you have Nicholas Jackson, for example, who just picked up his fifth yellow, now has one of the like all-time worst starts for a player who is like pretty heavily, big upped going into the season, right? He has one single goal to go with. So I think his returns are 1-1-7-1-1-1, which I don't think I've ever seen that point line before to start a fantasy season, right? 1-1-7-1-1-1. So one single goal, surrounded by five yellow cards. So I think for him, like going Jackson to Morris just makes complete sense. It seems like that's like just a super easy move that you could make. I mean, you could go Julian Alvarez as well. I think that's fine. I mean, I think the Alvarez thing was obviously the kind of the big story of last week was whether it was absurd to get Julian Alvarez before they played Nottingham Forest at home, as if that was like some highly controversial thing. And then of all things, Rodri, who doesn't even have tattoos. That's how clean this guy lives.
Texas Sheridan.
Yeah, Texas Sheridan. He picks up a violent conduct red card, which I did not have that on my like bingo card of possible options for this match. And then they need another defensive player basically to hold on to their lead. And so somebody's got to go and they drop Julian Alvarez. Like to me, that doesn't, and then everyone was like, oh, Pep Roulette. I'm like, are you watching this game? Like this is not Pep Roulette. This is just tactics. Like sometimes you take a player off in the 56th minute. He was heavily involved in the attack in the first half. Absolutely could have had an attack in return. I feel great about Julian Alvarez moving forward. And you know, they play Wolves away, which is a great fixture for Man City. And I suspect that most of the squad is going to be rest. I believe that they play, it's either Tuesday or Wednesday, they play in the Carabao Cup. So everyone, you know, I guess if he played like 90 in that, then maybe you'd have to get a little worried about whether he was going to start this weekend. But feels unlikely to me that I think like a lot of players are going to get heavily rest. Well, actually, I don't know. Actually, and I mean, I who would you play up front if you're not going to play him? I guess that's the question. Do you go?
This is why it's bizarre maybe? That they got rid of Ollie Palmer. Cole Palmer. Who's Ollie Palmer?
Ollie, I think you blended Ollie Watkins and Cole.
Ollie Palmer is the, he plays for Wrexham. I think that's the big lad there.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, to have Cole Palmer in your squad feels like, yeah, we need him for these situations where now the City squad is still riddled with some injuries. Rodri's going to be out for at least 3 weeks, put his hands on the man's throat.
Yep.
Pep just needs as many players as he can. I love the security of that for Julian Alvarez.
Yeah.
But it does make me concerned with the fixture pileup.
So I think you could make a case for going Alvarez if you didn't have him already. Like I wouldn't move Alvarez to Morris. I think Watkins to Morris is fine. I think Jackson to Morris is ideal. Like that's a great move. And, it's like you said, it's just a fun gamble. And because of a little bit of risk about starting for all, like if you didn't have Alvarez already, right? I guess in my case, I have three forwards right now. A lot of people only have two forwards, right? So like, I don't think Morris is so valuable that you need to like rearrange your team to get him, right? Like if you have Archer and you're like, oh, I just really want to have a piece of this double, I would suggest maybe just forget about the double. It's on Tuesday. You're not going to, there's always this feeling, oh, like I just, whatever points I have, I'm just going to lose them all because everyone who has a player in the double is going to surge past me. But I think we saw last season when we had double game weeks practically every week that a lot of doubles are busts. We see this again and again. And so maybe there's an MFFA case. In fact, the MFFA way is to pretend that the double, what double, Brandon, is maybe the MFFA approach. Oh, they play twice? I don't even know who Luton Town is. That's the approach you should be taking. Is Luton Town a club in the Premier League? That's the first I've heard about it. That might be the approach to take this game week.
We should all just play fantasy baseball this week, yeah, I think exactly. Is what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can get him without a hit and without screwing anything else up, then that's really the only way.
I think so.
Otherwise, I agree. Now I'm going to be doubled up with Kabore in the defense, and the problem with Chilwell makes this a lot easier for me to just outright bench Chilwell and play Kabore. And so I'm that's about as close to all in as I think anybody should be.
Yeah, I think, and honestly, I mean, I guess just the way I ordered this, I had Burnley first, but let's do Luton first. They play in the double, they play away to Everton and home to Burnley. So it is a good double for them. I mean, the problem is they're just not very good, right? But, you know, Carlton Morris is a 5.5 million forward. It's probably the only truly decent double game week asset. He's got two goals and one assist. And as we saw this game week, he's on pens. I thought he had a nice moment. He hit I can't remember, I guess it was the post. It was the post or the crossbar. I actually can't remember anymore. But he had a nice move. It was like outside the box. This is early in the first half for Luton. And I thought he generally played pretty well. He was pretty active and had a little bit of, reminded me of Mitro a little bit. He's a little more hulking than Mitro, but has the kind of similar qualities where he's a kind of, you know, like a real aggressive presence in the box. You mentioned Kabore too. He's super cheap, 4 million, picked up an assist in game week 6. The advantage of him is if you went Chilwell to Kabore, for example, that'd free up something like 1.6 million. That's money that could turn, I don't know, maybe that turns Bruno or somebody like that into Salah long-term, right? There's some advantages to going real cheap with Kabore. So I think that, that he's valuable. I mean, I honestly, if you got one clean sheet out of the two, that would be, I think that'd be pretty, that'd be a pretty great return. So it's that, I don't think like burning points to bring in a Luton defender would be anything that I would advise.
Like either you're already in or you're not going to be in.
Yeah. And I think I'd avoid the rest of the squad. Is there an MFFA case, Brandon, for Carlton Morris captain? Captain Morris.
I don't think so. That feels like the antithesis of fun to me. The fun of this game week has to just be its sheer existence.
I don't know. I mean, Man City play Wolves away. Wolves are not a super strong squad. And they're also down a defender now because of the red card. Oh, actually, maybe that one. No, that was the violent conduct red, so he is going to be out for that. All these violent conduct reds. It doesn't feel like that's like there's a rise in that. It's like we used to just get the simple two yellow reds, Brandon, but now we're in a new territory with violent conduct. Anyway, so I think I'm with you there. I think I would just captain Erling Haaland. I don't even think, see, it's not even that boring to me because as long as he keeps scoring goals, it's kind of fine. And like every week, I feel like there are people who pop up into like my feed or whatever, and they're like, oh, hey, I'm like really going for it this week. I'm going to captain Nicholas Jackson. You know, it's like, let's do this. And then you're like, okay. And it feels like sort of, it's so risky all the time. And there's not a lot of upside. And then every single week, Haaland scores. And so you're like, well, I just got like an easy breezy 6 points. And occasionally I'm going to get 20. And I just never have to think about the captaincy anymore. And I have found that doesn't really bother me. It turns out that I'm thinking about my transfers or whatever, or even like the lineup that I put together is just as engaging to me as like who I'm going to get double points from this week. It doesn't, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of fine, weirdly.
Yeah. So that brings us to Burnley, where, you know, speaking of red cards, they lost Lyle Foster for this game week.
See, you have Lyle Foster's got the red. Zeki Amduni, I know you're kind of a fan of this guy. He scored in game week 5. Perhaps takes on an even more pivotal attacking role in Lyle Foster's absence. I think, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm not convinced the site is right about this. I guess it depends. Is there, we can probably find this out right away. Has Burnley already been knocked out of the Carabao Cup? Because wouldn't that be one of his, or does a violent conduct red not count? I don't know. How does that work? Now they play Salford City in the Carabao Cup on Tuesday. So wouldn't that count as one of Lyle Foster's 3 matches on the ban?
I don't know. I guess he's he's totally off the table.
Yeah. The point is he's off the table. You're not going to have Lyle Foster. Just don't do it. Especially because, yeah, I mean, one of the matches is Newcastle. There's just not a lot to enjoy about this Burnley team at the moment. Maybe Vincent Kompany's going to figure it out. We all love Vincent Kompany. We're all rooting for him. So the defenders have done nothing. Kolesho has had some moments. He's got a nice X Lively. 5 million mid, picked up an assist a couple weeks ago. So if you really, really just wanted a Burnley player, I think he might be one to target. I don't really know. Maybe you made a bet with a friend and you both have to get in Burnley players or something like that. If so, I would maybe, I would look at him and maybe Amduni just for fun. Amduni also, he was playing with Foster. So even if Foster was back, it wouldn't render Amduni sort of to the bench. They would just play together. So that's the extent of my Amduni knowledge, but there you go. all right, let's get on to some game week. So basically the long and short of it is get Carlton Morris. You could consider Kabore, and everything else from these two squads is off the table. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a shame. I think Burnley actually looked really good against Nottingham Forest on that Monday night fixture. And then I think the red card just kind of blew it all up. And now I just don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's true. The Foster, you're right. There would have been a fun debate. Which of the two forwards do you get? And then that did take that off the table a little bit. All right, let's get on to a couple important transfer questions here. Aloha Lounge says, now that Pochettino has succumbed to Chelsea manager disease, who is the best chiller replacements if we're looking to take money out of defense to fund a solid move? So we talked a little bit about Kabore. That would be kind of a fun short-term move. But to me, I think the answer has to be bring in a first, or if you already have one, a second Newcastle defender. I feel like that's where I would be kind of leaning at the moment. Man United have a nice fixture run, but I just don't trust them at the moment. And so I wouldn't get one of their defenders.
No, definitely not. And even Man City, I don't know if they just deceived us this weekend by actually getting a clean sheet, but they have kind of a bumpy patch of fixtures for a team as leaky as they are, as Arsenal, yeah. Brighton, and Manchester United starting in game week 8. Otherwise, yep. I would say, yeah, let's mix it up and go back to City defense.
Yep.
But I do think it really is all about Newcastle and Spurs, and the advantage of Spurs being as they have the cheap attacking fullbacks, and yep. Newcastle are just sturdy. And I still don't want to get too caught up in the Trippier is the only way into this defense. I'm hung up on the Sheffield United of it all, and how sure. much space yeah. Trippier had to play with, and how big of a difference Trippier's price point versus his FPL returns. Where's the value going to land when you're looking at Botman versus Trippier over the course of the next 4 weeks? Now, based on what we saw against Sheffield United, I guess you're voting Team Trippier right now. But I'm still thinking about what do I have to do to get Mo Salah into my team?
Yeah.
Where do I get extra cash? And I think that's a pretty straightforward place to get an extra 1.5
if you go. Yeah. You're right. The Sheffield United part of it can't be totally overlooked because those were the first attacking returns he had the entire season. He had no goals or assists for the first five matches. You know, he's always threatening. I don't want to make it sound like he's offered kind of nothing, but it's the first time he's delivered anything through the first, going to the week six. And the second half of last season, we saw a real dip in form as well. And they have the Champions League. So, I'm with you. I think there's still an argument. And also, you can't have everybody. Like, I don't know. That's not a very fun answer, but it really is hard to have. It's hard to have Son and Salah and Saka and a Man United defender or a Man United midfielder. And I don't know, like three forwards up front and then Matoma and Mbomo, right? It's like you start to go through this and you're like, well, how am I going to make this work? It's like, you can't, you just can't. So you just have to pick a number of them and sort of, I don't think I can get to Trippier anytime soon. And that's just something I'm going to have to like, just hope he doesn't kind of completely go off, right?
So is it too big brain to say, I'm going to save money and get Shar and Botman and that will more than cover one Trippier, and that's a more effective spreading out of my defensive funds?
Yeah, I mean, given that we're not, I mean, there's a question from El Fat Boy. He says, is cheap at the back the way forward now with no consistent level premium defenders feels like you can get a good enough line without going above 5 million. I mean, just given that you can get them for so cheap and they kind of, you've got to field three no matter what. Right. It's sort of it's like you can make a case for just, I mean, looking ahead for Newcastle, they play Burnley at home in 7, West Ham away in 8, a tricky fixture to be sure. Palace at home, game week 9. Palace have really struggled to score as far this season. Away to Wolves in 10. I think that'd be considered a pretty good fixture. Home Arsenal 11. So that's, but you know, I mean, obviously you could keep going and going, but certainly for the next 4 weeks, you could start them in all four of those matches or 3 out of 4 of them, feel pretty good about it. And I try not to look more than 4 or 5 matches ahead at any given time, right? Because it's just not, so I don't know. So it's like, it feels like I see a lot of clean sheets there. Like, do I see them, like, do I see Crystal Palace conceding 8 goals and letting Trippier get 3 assists? No, I don't, right? I think of them as a pretty solid defensive team. And so it's like I see clean sheets here. I don't necessarily see destructive. What about Dan Byrne? Is there like, I couldn't believe he scored today because he feels like he never does, but he is in theory a slightly more attacking presence in that squad, right? Like, would we, I mean, he's played the full 90 every single match this season. We never talk about Dan Byrne. I don't know, like, I guess maybe it feels like there's more replacements for him or something.
I think the Lewis Hall and who is on loan from Chelsea, and then Livramento, those are two fullbacks that could come in and fill in. So I think, given like, so cheap at the back, yes, I totally agree. And the fewer transfers I have to use is best. Yeah. It's almost like a goalkeeper plus defense right now. It's like, get them cheap, get them valuable, and never move them. If you look at the top 10 scoring fantasy defenders right now, only 4 of them cost above 5 million. And Trippier is the only one above 6 million. Joachim Anderson at Palace, 4.7, Botman, 4.6, Cash, 4.7, Romero, 4.8. There's some guys who you would definitely never have in your fantasy team here, like DeSassi and Chelsea. Yeah.
Even a stupid one started at 5, right? I mean, so like he's up to 5.3 now, which still is, I think, pretty low considering this guy is like turned into one of these defenders who, kind of like Trippier, honestly, who if he gets an attacking return, he's going to get bonus points. Right, because he's so involved in the kind of lead up to goal scoring.
So if you say money is not a factor, I'm just going to get the best defenders, come what may. If you do that, you're going to get really cheap guys. So that kind of answers the question.
Anderson being second is kind of crazy. Like that one, that one definitely snuck up on me. I pulled this up as you were talking. I guess it's just. Yeah, I mean, it's just, he only has one goal. It's not like he's fluked a whole bunch of attacking returns. It's just that he's got 6 bonus points and just, I don't know. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. We probably slept on Crystal Palace defense a little bit this season, you and me.
Yeah, it's they and Fulham. It's interesting that they played Fulham this weekend and they came to a 0-0 result. It's like, Palace and Fulham have secretly been like the best places to put your defensive budget in the entire league.
So I think we are affirming Al Fatboy's decision here. Yeah, go for it. What about Matty Cash? Have we I know you were just you got rid of Paul Torres, which I do understand, but does Matty Cash interest you a little bit more? He's still very cheap, and it's $4.7 million. He's still getting tons of minutes. He had that kind of one classic heavily transferred in player syndrome where he went from 17 to minus one the next week, but picked up a clean sheet in the Chelsea match today. I like him. I think he's a fun player. I mean, I'm 1/8 Polish, just like him. So it's kind of fun that we're both representing. Like, I represent Poland on this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think if you were to go Villa, then Cash is definitely the defender to get. I mean, Dean had his moments against Chelsea. So this hammered this incredible shot towards Sanchez, forced to save from him. So both their fullbacks looking good. I mean, I do admit that I thought Pau Torres had a rough – he was just very much trial by fire for him at the start of the season, and he's growing into that team.
Yep.
I guess you have to give Aston Villa some credit at this point where they are creating chances. They seem, it's like classic Unai Emery, just like very foundational Aston Villa right now.
Yeah.
But my trust is still not with them for whatever reason.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of risk still with the two. With the two of them as well. I mean, maybe Cash is a little safer. I mean, eventually Alex Moreno is going to be back for Villa. It looks like he's now up to 75% chance of playing. He hasn't played a minute yet this season. I think he will ultimately challenge Dean for some minutes. There was a little bit of, Diego Carlos is a player who could challenge Cash at some point, but he's further away. And so I think Cash is pretty safe. I kind of wish if they weren't playing Brighton at home, and I just feel like Brighton are just never going to go into a match without, like, Brighton are going to win every match 3-1 this season. It feels like to me, it feels like they're going to be the first team to win 38. I know like that literally hasn't even happened every match so far this season, but it just feels like that is like, they are a squad that's set up to win every game 3-1. And how many times have they done it so far this season? They've done it three times. 3-1 has been the result in their last four matches because they lost at home to West Ham 3-1. Then they beat Newcastle 3-1, went away to Man United and won 3-1, and hosted Bournemouth and won 3-1. So you're getting 3-1 in virtually every.
You don't know which way it's going to be.
Yeah, but, you don't know which way it's going to be. And the other, what's weird, the other two games was a 4-1 and a 4-1. So they are. It's weird, right? So through six matches, they have only won matches 3-1 or 4-1 on the season.
Well, I have to get my numerology textbooks off the bookshelf to figure this one out. I'll come back with the full report. There's something here. Something's going on with this team.
Something's going on. I know. They can't keep a clean sheet is what's going on, clearly. But everyone loves this.
This Verbruggen guy. What about him?
Yeah,
horrible, horrible goal to give away.
We got a weird year for keepers, isn't it, Ben? We've got some good ones. We've got some, Vicario. Even Sanchez, I think, has done okay for Chelsea at times. And I'm not going to blame him for conceding a goal when they're 11 on 10. But I didn't even realize that Neto was up to second in goalkeeper points. Did you? That snuck up on me there a little bit. Your boy?
No, it's been a while since I cruised by that page. But he must be receiving a lot of shots.
Well, he is, he's a David Raya style keeper where it's, you get, at least the way Raya used to be at Brentford, where it's like one or 10 is what you get from him. And so he's got 2-10, 2-1, 10-1. But again, it's just hard for people to accept that you're going to get such extreme outcomes with keepers. And even myself, I should have gone with Leno on my wild card. And I was like, well, I want in theory to get more clean sheets. And so, and then of course he's kept two back to back. So Leno, I guess, is the clear, and they've got a pretty good run of fixtures ahead too. I mean, at this point, Chelsea at home, like, yeah, decent chance of keeping a clean sheet in that one, I would think. Right. It's I don't know who's scoring for Chelsea right now. I mean,
they're bad. They're so bad.
It's weird. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? It's like, it doesn't, Just out of curiosity, I love going on Transfer Market, and I will occasionally. Odegaard signing a new contract this week. I was like, oh, I'm curious what his value is up to in Transfer Market. And, you know, it's like roughly $100 million or something like that, right? It's he's second in the squad to Sakho. I think it's at like 120. And I think the two of them are just behind, I think it's Foden and Haaland in terms of overall. I don't want to pull it all up right now because it'd be boring to talk about. But, you know, I think it's like it's those two. And then it's like three of the next four are Arsenal players, right? And then there's someone else is up there as well. And basically you've got to, I think like Rashford is, and Bruno, but you've got to go down like to 10th or 11th before you find a Chelsea player, right? It's like Enzo Fernandez or something like that. And so it's like, they totally remade their squad. And yet when you look at the kind of best of the best in the Premier League, they're not even on there, right? It's just a very weird, and to bring this to fantasy, I think that it is relevant because we sort of got seduced by the fact that they were cheaper, right? They're like, well, they're a top club, but they're priced at like a mid-table price, and so we should go for them. But it turns out they're at least at the moment not a top club, and they are priced honestly a little expensive for what you're getting from them. So it's obviously like there's no need to pour on with Chelsea because it's not fun for their supporters, and it's not fun to watch either. And so I love Pochettino. I hope he figures it out, but it's definitely a mess. And
I love his double-breasted jackets that he's wearing. Like, what a natty fellow. Yeah, he's got a great look.
Well-dressed man.
And I don't like to see him unhappy because he's built to bring joy.
I think so too. I think you're absolutely right. I think he's he spreads joy. He's my favorite player on that squad. I know he's even play for Chelsea, Brennan, but I'm going to call him an honorary player.
Given the way things are going, just suit up.
That's true. He's a former player. He can get back out there. Somehow it's done. All right. One more question here, Brandon, from Sarsfield. He says, I'm slowly building up funds for another premium player. It's my style of play. He says, I realize the style may not be for everyone. I like the little parenthetical note there, Sarsfield. You didn't need to say that, but I understand why you did. It says, my question is, do I save my money for Son or Salah? Salah would probably require, even for me, a wild card. So if you can get to Son with transfers, you got to get to Salah with the wild card. That's definitely a key factor here. But just looking kind of beyond that, do we think that Salah is worth the extra $3 million over Son?
I do. Liverpool have not lost a match. Is that right? Yeah, they're in second place right now. And five wins, one draw. They're like secretly just having an incredible season. And I think where Liverpool are just going about their business, we're getting sucked into these narratives of new managers at Spurs and what is that doing for their players and just the vibes at the club. And then Son gets wrapped up in all of that, like where in the pitch is he playing, et cetera. And Liverpool, Salah's doing the same thing he's been doing for however many years under Klopp.
Yep.
And watching what I did of Liverpool this weekend, I just really enjoyed watching him. He was always in the right spot. He's just like head up the entire time. Yep. I definitely want him more than I would want Son, even after Son's exploits two out of the last three game weeks. I just think the consistency is there. And what we have been saying the last few weeks is that Salah is the Harry Kane of this season, where he will drip, drip, drip. And you'll be happy that he did come the end of the season if you buy in early.
Yeah, I mean, he got 10 points from only one return, which doesn't happen very often for Salah. So that, I think, points to what you were saying about him being really involved in the attack. Son is the thing is, you can. It feels like, obviously, this week we had a really extreme case of it where it was Madison feeding Son the goals. But I think in general, I think that Madison is the player who I almost feel like is the more essential player on this on the Spurs squad, assuming he's okay. That knee looked bad, but I guess he's fine. I don't know. He like he stayed out there. So I don't know. Let's, I don't know if there's any updates on that yet.
I can't imagine they'd let him go out there and run for as long as he did, if that was a concern. And, you know, you could see the physios testing his knee on the pitch, and you didn't see Madison wincing at all.
I guess it's fine. Played for like 15 more minutes. Yeah.
Fingers crossed that he's good, because my God, that would just be catastrophic in any number of ways. Just general enjoyment of the Premier League.
Yep.
Horrible for Spurs fans. I'm horrible for Mato. So please, please don't let that happen.
Yeah. I think, I guess for me, kind of depends on how high Suns ownership goes. I mean, they play Luton in game week 8, so that's obviously a great fixture for. I think you could consider captaining Son for that Luton fixture in game week 8, especially because Arsenal and Man City play each other that week. So that is something to keep in mind, I suppose. And yeah, at the moment, I'm feeling a little anxious about not having Son for that match. Although I don't even know how I'd get there. Right? It's like it's going to be tricky. So if you could get Son and Salah and Madison, maybe that's the way to go. I mean, there's only so many midfielders you can have though. So I'm kind of with you. If you just absolutely had to have one, I think you're right. It's like, just get Salah, think of him as a set and forget option. Also Son gets taken off the pitch at like the 74th minute every match, right? Whereas Salah virtually always plays through to the end. Outside of what was like game week 1, it was like that was like the one time he pitched a fit, and you know that doesn't happen very often unless they're absolutely destroying somebody.
It's very interesting options around Son now. Brendan Johnson getting the start against Arsenal. What did you think about him? He was getting into some really good spots, but he seemed green and maybe a little overawed by the occasion.
I would say I have like no opinion on that. Like I didn't feel like I was like, I wasn't like blown away by Brendan Johnson in that match. Were you? I agree. Like he had a couple moments, but I don't know. I thought he was okay. I wasn't like super impressed.
Yeah. I guess it's an interesting question because Manor Solomon could play in exactly that position. And I think Manor Solomon is a better player.
Yeah.
And more ruthless and more threatening. So I'm just trying to figure out what Postecoglou sees in Johnson that he doesn't see in Solomon, and additionally doesn't see in moving Son back a little left and putting Richarlison back in. So there are lots of moving pieces up front, which again leads me to agree with what you're saying about Madison, where like the one constant in that team is always going to be Madison at the heart of every attack.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like, it's really fun to see him with a player like Son and see what he can do. I mean, I guess he did have Vardy, although Vardy was kind of maybe at the approaching the end of his career when they were playing together. And so he didn't necessarily see that. And Vardy's kind of, I don't know. He's such a unique forward. It's not like, I don't know. Anyway. So I think that's the questions for this week's pod, Brandon. Captain wise, looks like we're both leaning towards Erling Haaland, right?
Easily. Yes. Okay. Why? Yeah, ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, I look at Manchester United at home hosting Palace. Palace know how to play defense. Manchester United kind of struggle to score. That's not worth it. I think Arsenal away to Bournemouth is one of the options I see to be different if you wanted to go with Saka. But Wolves, you mentioned the red card. They're just battered and not great this season. There's no reason to go against the grain.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. It's just, I sort of gave my rationale earlier for why it's fine to not sweat about the captain choice too much. And I think we will have some more opportunities, again, including game week 8, where I think there's a really good argument for going with like a Madison or a Son as your game week 8 captain. But we'll save that for next week's pod, Brandon. What about this final question? Who is our ex-DIH for game week 7, the ex-dog in him, brought to you by the hit movie Strays? Anyone come to mind right now?
My wife saw the Strays little square on the TV, and she's like, "Oh, that looks cute. Let's watch the trailer." And this is not a pet movie for the whole family, Josh. It's got a little bite to it,
ooh,
shall we say?
Yeah.
In the spirit of that, who's going to be ex-DIH this week? Well, I liked what I saw from Jared Bowen, but Mikel Antonio was getting some flack because he predicted prior to the Liverpool match that West Ham were going to finish above Liverpool in the Premier League table, and Liverpool beat West Ham sturdily 3-1. I think Mikel Antonio is going to come back with that dog in him and absolutely put the blades to the sword.
I love the blades to the sword. I like that.
I feel like I've got the spirit of Peter Drury in me right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I like that. I'm going to go with I'm going to go back to an old friend of ours, Brandon, Brian Mbeumo. I think Brentford were really I do not think that this club will let that stand. Whatever they just did last week. I mean, credit to Everton who did play well, but I thought Brentford were sleepwalking through that match. And I think Brian Mbeumo has taken this team by the scruff of the collar since Ivan Toney has left. I think that we see an Mbeumo comeback, an Mboback. I think we see that in game week 7. So he is my X dog and him, brought to you by the Hit Movie Strays, now in streaming everywhere.
I mean, I hope it's in theaters forever. I'm sure there's a dollar theater somewhere in your town.
Exactly.
Probably catch this on a second run.
Yeah, the old Quad 6, as they called it in Grand Rapids, Michigan, growing up.
And if we've got enough interest, we'll just buy a print of Strays and rent out our own movie theater and keep it going on the big screen.
Yeah, like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Just like do it every Saturday night. Midnight.
Shout out your favorite lines, whatever. Yeah. Throw dog treats at the screen.
It's a great idea. All right. Well, if you have more good ideas for the pod, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Support the pod. Lift my spirits. Get extra podcasts each week. Get merchandise at the highest level. For example, Ben Kumey. How do we decide we're going to say his
Kumey.
Name? Kumey. Brent Kumey. You'll be getting a, not Ben, Brent, Ben Kumey. You're going to be getting a t-shirt from us very soon.
Pint glass.
A pint glass, of course, but maybe a t-shirt eventually too. Who knows? Maybe we'll just send you one for fun. I don't know. You know, sometimes we get crazy. At the highest pledge levels, you do get pint glasses, and there's discounts on merch and all kinds of cool stuff. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go. Brendan, do you want to thank our producers?
Thanks, as always, to Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodall, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Velger, Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Herzig, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislov, Noah and Louise, Travis Grant, Julio Pena, Linus Vennerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner, Frode Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, Lolly, and Ben Kumey. Rate, review, subscribe to Always Cheating wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Follow us wherever you get your social media. And for all this information, you can visit our website, alwayscheating.com. Josh, I'll talk to you on Thursday night for our Patreon-only podcast where we can once and for all lock in this first double game week of the season.
All right, that sounds good. All right, maybe we'll work in some other, I don't know. I feel like this double game week, I think we took all the meat off that bone. So let's find some other meaty topics. Maybe people are in wild card this week. It feels like a weird week to wild card. Maybe it's the right week for some. I don't know. We'll find out more on Thursday. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.